Praise God. So good to be together. Let's just pray. Father God, we are so amazed at your love. Tangible, touching us this day, oh God. Thank you for your love that you have. And Father, as we open our hearts for your word, Father, we pray for every heart to get greater revelation of who they are in Christ and the work that you have done, that we should be called your sons and daughters. Holy Spirit, we honor your presence. Continue with us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The message today is, who are you? Who are you? Every one of us are bombarded from media and from the world trying to tell us who we are. But today, we're going to be reminded who God says we are, which is much different from what you hear in the world. It's really important as someone that follows Jesus to know who you are. What the Bible says, eternal truth about what we are. Because the way that we think determines how we live our lives. Amen. Now, the first scripture is Proverbs 23, where it says, for as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So whatever you are thinking really determines how you live your life. So do not be deceived by what you hear from outside in this world about who you are. Most of which is very negative. Very negative. But believe the word of God and your life will be transformed and you will come into your destiny. It's time for every one of you here, from the youngest to the oldest, to think about yourself as what God, our Creator, says about you. And time to start to live the life that you were created for. Amen. There's destiny inside of your heart. God has deposited something really specific deep in each of your heart. And some of you have been running away from that. But you need to come back to the first love. You need to come back to God our Creator. Recognize who you truly are. This is my main scripture. I'd really like you to pay attention to this one from Psalm 8. Verses 4 to 5 in the New King James. The psalmist says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than Elohim. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. It says angels, but then it's got a little asterisk and says, in the original language, actually says Elohim. Elohim here is the same Hebrew word for creator God in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning God created. So it is talking about God the creator. And the New Living Translation, it says, you made them only a little lower than God. Wow. Does that blow your mind? You, my friend, are created just a little lower than God himself, the creator. How can you even comprehend this? I would like to read to you what the Passion Translation says. Why would you bother with puny mortal man or care about human beings? Yet, what honor you have given to men, created only a little lower than Elohim, crowned with glory and magnificence. You have delegated to them rulership over all you have made, with everything under their authority, placing earth itself under the feet of your image bearers. That's us, image bearers. All the created order and every living thing of earth, sky and sea, the wildest beast and all that move in the paths of the sea, everything is in submission to Adam's sons. Yahweh, our sovereign God, your glory streams from the heavens above, filling the earth with the majesty of his name. People everywhere see your splendor. Amen. We are created in the image of God. God has made the human race a little lower than God himself. That is where the battle starts, about your identity. So when I'm asking you the question, who are you? This is where the battle starts for every human being. We need to realign our thinking with what God says here. The scripture talks about the renewing of the mind, so your mind can be made new again. You can change the way you think. You can. The scripture says so. 2 Corinthians 10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How do we do this? We do it with the washing and the saturation and the constant flushing out of our mind and our thoughts by the word of God. This is how we do it. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. This is talking about the church, the body of Christ. That he, that's the Lord, might sanctify, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Amen. The word is God's word, is the Bible. That he might present her to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. John, when you look in the mirror, we continue to quote the scripture, without spot and wrinkle, eh? The older we get, we say, hey, without spot and wrinkle, that's the word of God. No, seriously, it is the word of God that purifies our way of thinking. And not what the world and what the enemy tries to say. This needs to translate into our everyday life. Like Melvin said, we came back from a few days away, and then you have this emergency where fear so easily can set in. But if you know who your God is and you walk with him, you can have that supernatural peace even in the middle of the storm. This determines how we live, because we are surrounded with very evil days. We are surrounded with very evil days. Because every human being has been given a free will to choose. And sadly, many people choose the wrong path. So this is so important. Just before we went away on vacation, Melon got a phone call from somebody that were really disturbed. This was a believer that was really disturbed because there were crazy things happening in the house through the night, but there was no human beings there. How is this? As believers, we have the authority. Jesus said, I give you my authority. As a believer in Jesus, we have the authority. We've been given authority, and we should not live in fear. We have authority as believers over everything that takes a place. And Jesus shows us how to defeat the devil and the demons. What happened to Jesus? If you go to Luke 4, you will read about how Jesus was tempted for 40 days. You're all familiar with that. He was taken out in the desert and he was tempted. How was he tempted? By the devil spoke into him. The devil spoke to him. If the devil spoke to Jesus, be sure the enemy will speak to you too. To try and knock you off. He will tell you that you're no good. He will tell you you will never make it. He will tell you all kinds of lies to try and derail you. Do you know he's jealous of you?
Yeah.
He is jealous of you, my friend, because you are God's image bearer.
Amen.
We just read it. These are not my words. This is the Lord speaking, saying, he created you a little lower than Elohim. So devil, who's a fallen cherubim, is jealous of your position because the love of the Father has been poured upon you.
Amen.
Upon you, the love of the Father has been poured. And so you are very precious to him. So Jesus was tempted, Luke 4, verses 2-4, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. It is written. Do you see how the devil starts by attacking Jesus' identity? If you are the Son of God. This is how the enemy will speak. If you are, what kind of Christian are you? You have forsaken the faith. He will remind you. Yes, he will remind you because he is the accuser. But Jesus came and paid the price for my sin and for your sin. No matter how much you have wondered, the Word of God says, if you once committed your life to Jesus, the Word of God says he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Even if you forsake God, he's not like a human being. He keeps his promise. Holy Spirit is still with you, waiting for you to open the door and let him rule again. Come back into alignment with the Word of God. Come back into your true calling and experience the freedom that he has. And he gives us, as a follower of Jesus, we have the authority of Jesus. Psalm 115, verse 16, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So this earth here, this is our realm. You're very familiar with way back in Genesis that God made everything according to their kind, after their own kind. And then we read so beautifully in Genesis 1:26, when God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, all over the earth, etc., etc. Let us make mankind in our image, after our likeness. That is who you are. You are precious. You are special. Every human being. And these days when we are fallen, what's happening in the world, and we've been watching the hostages one by one, three by three, being released. And then your heart gets so burdened when you see it. It's just so horrific what these people have been through. And you think the ransom that the state of Israel have been willing to pay for each hostage. It's difficult to grasp from the sense of how many hundreds of terrorists are being set free for one human being. But you see, Israel treasure a human life. Where do they have that from? From the Torah. They have it from the Word of God.
Amen.
They have it from the Word of God, that a human life cannot have a price.
Amen.
Because Jesus actually came for the one. But this is even back in the Old Testament. This is the Word of God from the Old Testament. And that's why they're doing it. Because they treasure a life. How much more does God treasure every life? How much more? The kids were just reading the scriptures to us. The love of God poured out. for you and for me. So when you look at who you are in the universe, so we have God, the Creator. Yeah, lots of people say, I can't grasp God. Well, if you could grasp Him, He wouldn't be God anymore. He's not at our level. He's not at our level. But yet, we can know Him, and He's our Heavenly Father. God has all authority, all power. He has no equal, ever. When I was young and I was seeking God, I used to think, oh, there's a battle ongoing between God and the devil. But that's actually not so whatsoever.
That's right.
There is no battle between God and the devil. The devil is a fallen cherubim, a created being that's fallen. God is so big.
Yeah.
He does not go down to that kind of level. No. God is almighty, all-powerful.
Amen.
And yet, He is love. He is our Creator. He absolutely has no equal. To prove this to you, this is one of my favorite verses because it just shows you how big God is. In Revelation 20, this is still to happen. Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel. So this is just one angel. It doesn't give the angel a name. So it's not Gabriel or one of the angels that are named. It's just one angel, okay? Are you following? This is one angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set the seal. And so it goes on. So, one angel takes the devil and throws him into the bottomless pit. One angel. Because that is the level of a fallen cherubim. God is so, so big. It says He sits in heaven and laughs as His enemy. He does not, there's nothing that takes Him by surprise. He knows everything. What about the angels? We are the human race. But what about the angels? Look how many angels there are. In Revelation 5:11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So there's 1,000,000 angels just in this throne room. There's just one place. In the throne room there's 1,000,000 angels and God sends just one of them. Just like that, and the devil is chained up and cast into the bottom of the pit. One angel out of 1,000,000 goes. You go. Why? Because when it's God's timing, that's it.
Amen.
Everything works to God's timing. And according to the word of God. Did you know that angels, they don't have authority, but they're very powerful. But they don't have authority. The authority comes from God or from us. As believers, the Lord passed authority to us. Angels are voice activated. Did you know that? Do you remember when it started to get on your mobile phone that you could actually type from voice activation? Everybody's really excited about it. Well, it's been around for a long time because angels are voice activated. That's what the word of God says. There's an example here from Isaiah 37 verses 35 and 36, and this is God speaking. He says, I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. So for the sake of David, he says, I'm going to save the city. I said, and then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. One angel. And when People arose early in the morning. There were the corpses, all dead. So here you have God speaking, saying, I will defend this city. And so one angel hears that, whoops, out he goes. 185,000 dead, just like that. So you can see the angel's very powerful, huh? What human being could slay 185,000 soldiers? You couldn't do it. But one angel, but the angel couldn't do it until the word of God came forth. So as believers, come on, let's not have our angels sit idle and sit waiting for us to speak the word of God. We have to speak the word of God out. And the angels go, their voice activated. Isn't that exciting? They are voice activated. Psalm 103 verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength. They're very, very strong. Who do his word. So they do the word of God. Heeding the voice of his word. So they are waiting to hear the word of God. So that's why when we are spending a whole hour, we are worshiping and singing the words of God. They are listening. They're listening for the word of God. And then they go and take action. So beautiful. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. That's how the New Living Translation says it. Now, if you remember from Matthew 26, this was before Jesus was crucified. He said, do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? So Jesus said, don't you know? I could just ask my Father and I would get 12 legions of angels. One legion is at least 6,000. So 12 legions is at least 72,000. Now we just read that one angel could slay 185,000. So if you got 72,000, that meant that Jesus could call on the angels and immediately he would be able to slay more than 13 billion people. That's even more than what the population of the world today is, 8.2 billion. So the angels are very powerful, but the authority is from the word of God. But we, the human race, we are God's image bearers. Therefore, we have power and authority. But as you know, Adam and Eve fell and they lost the authority, didn't they? They lost it. And that's why Jesus had to come to get it back for us. Jesus paid the price that we would have the authority back. Praise God. So sometimes people because of all the evil that takes place, it's easy to believe that the evil power is very strong. But actually it is the word of God that is very strong. Because everything in the universe obeys the laws of God. So as believers, we need to know the word of God and live by the word of God. So powerful. One of the ministries as a church that we offer is freedom sessions where people are maybe struggling with things that they're just not able to overcome, and there are some spiritual roots to be dealt with. And every time, if a person is prepared to confess the sin, release forgiveness, the things that Bible tells us to do, then immediately they are set free. Immediately. But if a person does not want to confess the sin, then they're not set free. So where is the power? The power is in the word of God. Demons have to obey the word of God. But if a person will not repent, then they're going to continue to harass. They're going to continue to harass because they are pure evil. But the word of God is powerful. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. One of the weapons we have is the righteousness of Christ. Because we cannot survive in our own righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, you become the righteousness of God in Christ, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
He has taken my filthy robes away and given me the righteousness of Christ. That is for you, my friend. God is calling you into your God destiny. Come back. Come back to your first love. Come back and receive the righteousness of Christ. If we've got sin, Holy Spirit will convict us. Why? Because he wants to set us free. When we came back from holiday and met his nephew just like that, do you know what? He had just been out for a nice meal with his wife. They had a lovely meal together. They came home, and just like that, he was out. There was no warning. So, what does that teach us? It teaches us that none of us know how long we've got. We cannot afford to walk about and have unforgiveness and have any sin in our life that we have not confessed before God. Because the moment a number is up, then we don't know whether there's time to repent then. You have to repent while you are alive.
Amen.
While you are alive, hear the word of the Holy Spirit. This is not about following a particular church. This is about living right before God.
Amen.
So we want to have a short account all the time. Every day saying, Holy Spirit, show me where I'm wrong. Show me my blind spot. Teach me. Teach me your ways. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds.
Amen.
We don't know if we will see tomorrow. So the righteousness of Christ is a number one weapon. The truth of God is another mighty weapon that we have. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you know that people say, well, this is a fact, and then maybe 2 years later you find out that wasn't fact at all. Facts do change. It happens all the time. You read, oh, don't eat eggs, it's bad for you. And then a few years later you read, eat as many eggs as you can.
Yeah.
Eat this kind of egg, you know. They call that fact. It's not fact at all. But the word of God is unchangeable. Truth does not change, but facts is subject to change. When I was in my career, we used to say, if you don't like the way the company is going, just wait for a little bit because it will change. There was always another reorg and then you ended up in another department. That is life. You will know that from your career. There's hardly end. There's no careers there for life anymore. Things are always changing. But truth is everlasting. And it's the truth that will set you free. Because we need to know the truth, because otherwise when we get adverse circumstances, then people tend to default to how you feel or how you think. But how you feel and how you think is not necessarily truth. Truth is the word of God. Truth is the word of God, what God says. Not, your feelings can be up and down. I'm sure you discover that if you're more than a year old. Your feelings can be up and down. And how you're thinking can be up and down. But the word of God is steadfast. You don't want to be living under fear. Fear is defined as false evidence appearing real. That's how the enemy attacks us. But we find for each area where you attack, do what Jesus said, say it is written. For every situation in your life, you can find a scripture that gives you the truth for your situation. If you're sick, you can stand and you can say, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The fact is, I haven't recovered fully yet, but it says that I shall recover. So I stand on that. So it's only a question of a little bit of time. It's coming. It's starting. My friend Jan always says, whenever there's an ache or a pain, she always says, not mine. And I thought, that's a good one. If you feel a pain, you just say, that's not mine. Get out in the name of Jesus. And it works because it's eternal truth.
Yeah.
It's the name of Jesus. So as believers of Christ, we have authority in every situation that we enter into. Yes, it's an evil world, but Jesus has conquered. His victory is our victory. Let us be people of God that walk into what He has called us to be. Do not be living by fear, but be overcomers. Use the authority that God has given us. The example I gave you about Melvin got the phone call. He just took some oil, went to the house, anointed the house, spoke the name of Jesus all over, and there hasn't been any unusual activities in the house since. Because we have the authority. The enemy doesn't have authority, but he deceived. He deceived Adam and Eve, and he will deceive you as well.
Amen.
He appears as if he is a lion, but he isn't. The authority of Jesus conquers. We must live victorious lives, that we can demonstrate the word of God in our everyday life and speak the life of God to the people around us that are spiritually dying. God is calling you today. You've been able to sense His love and His presence in this meeting today. You've been sensing it. This is the Holy Spirit working. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It cannot be denied. His love for you is greater than you will ever comprehend. Let us give ourselves over to Jesus this day, that He will have His full way with us. Amen.
Amen.